Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Shop, click, drive at robertsrobinson.com.
The Royals sort of made a little history on Monday night, and it was not good history. We will not spend a lot of time here on baseball, as Ryan Lefevre will join us later on Tuesday for a separate podcast where we'll lock in on baseball as a whole and your Kansas City Royals, who fell 11-2 on Monday night. The Royals in this game had 9 consecutive batters strike out against Andrew Heaney of the Texas Rangers. 9 in a row. That's a Rangers record. It ties the American League record when Doug Fister did it to the Royals in 2012. So there you go. Tying the American League record and setting a Rangers record. 9 consecutive strikeouts was painful to watch on Monday night. The interesting footnote of this thing, the historical maybe footnote that people will remember for a long time, is that Matt Duffy of the Royals broke the streak up by flying out to right field. A couple of years ago while playing for the Cubs had 10 strikeouts in a row, and Duffy broke that one up as well. Now, of course, that was in the National League, not the American League. So Matt Duffy has broken up a couple of long, long strikeout streaks. The Royals were not good. They lost 11-2 in this game. They've been pitching so well. This was their first real mishap with their pitchers on Monday night against the Rangers. So we'll see if they can rebound as they'll finish up that series the next couple of days, then head back to Kansas City for the Braves this weekend, an outstanding team coming to Kansas City this weekend to take on the Royals. Ryan Lefevre will join us on a separate podcast that'll be up later on Tuesday. All things baseball and all things Royals. So we'll really start here on this podcast talking a little bit about what's going on in D.C. with some of the news and things that are happening. I also have a terrific email from a listener who got a newsletter, basically, from Charisse Davids, the congresswoman in District 3 here in Kansas. I think you're going to like that quite a bit. The big news that isn't really big news anywhere right now, to me, I think this is big news, because they've been fighting against it for months and months and months concerning the Trump raid of Mar-a-Lago, and then, of course, learning that Mike Pence had classified documents and Joe Biden has them from all the way back when he was vice president at least 3 different locations, including some open to the public area in Chinatown. I mean, the whole thing is just bizarre at best. They've been holding these documents back, and they've been holding them back for 8 months, from certainly from public view, but they didn't want to risk. They said, we don't want to risk any compromising the investigation here of Donald Trump, because of course they don't. It's all about Donald Trump. It's not about Joe Biden. It's not about Mike Pence. But Marco Rubio has now been successful with Democrat Senator Mark Warner getting the documents viewed by the Gang of Eight. The Gang of Eight is those two fellows, a couple of guys from the Intel Committee, and then the leaders in the House and Senate from each party. And all they're saying is, we don't want possession of these. We don't want to do an investigation. We're not going to have hearings, but we have the right to view these. We're responsible for all your budgets, approving all your budgets and the work that you're doing, and we want to see what you have, which is a good first step. I'll admit that Marco Rubio is going to be in on this, and Kevin McCarthy and others. They're going to at least get to look at the documents that they found at Mar-a-Lago, the documents that they found from Joe Biden and Mike Pence. So this is a good start. This at least, you would think, in a normal situation, this would at least keep the investigation honest. Okay? Now people on both sides of the aisle have seen these documents, and the investigation can then take place, and we'll see what happens, all that stuff, right? But let me ask you this question. And was the Trump raid of Mar-a-Lago at like the end of August last year? Was it late summer, early fall? It's been months. It's been months and months and months since they raided Mar-a-Lago. And nobody has seen any of these documents. And we have a pattern that I'm going to share with you here in just a moment. We have a pattern of knowing that this Biden administration, this Department of Justice, and this FBI are not transparent. They don't show everything, certainly not immediately in this case. But the big question I have is, will they share all the documents? Or do you think they will be redacted, edited versions of the documents, some things held back, some things kept out, the things that they're investigating, they don't want these people to know? Will this be complete or will it be a sham? Because here's what they're good at. This is what they're really good at. Don't send everything over to the Gang of Eight. We'll send them what we want them to see to appease them and make them happy. And by the time the rest of it comes full circle, if we held things back, they could be two potentially different things. They could be something that's the key to the investigation, and they'll later say, well, this was really important stuff, and this is why we're doing this. We had to hold this back for purposes of our investigation. Or two, it would be a whole bunch of things or volume of documents that they would hold back and say, well, we didn't send these over because they didn't matter. They weren't meaningful in any way. And then nobody would notice somewhere months or years down the road. I don't trust this. I think you probably don't trust this. You hear that the Gang of Eight is going to get a chance now to view the classified documents from Joe Biden, Mike Pence, and Donald Trump. And what do you immediately think? You're immediately thinking the same thing I'm thinking. Oh, they're not seeing all the Biden documents. There's no way they're seeing those. And those follow under completely different laws than Trump. Same thing with Pence. The things that he had, completely different laws, because they can't declassify those by taking them with them as their president of the United States. Pence was a VP. Biden was a VP. Trump could literally take classified documents out of the White House onto Air Force One. And at that point, he has the right to have them there in that area, declassified, whatever, or take them to Camp David or Mar-a-Lago at any time during his presidency. He has the ability to do that as president, and they're automatically declassified in a way that they can be at his residence. Vice presidents can't do that. So they fall under much stricter laws and rules than Trump does in this case. But of course, the focus is all going to be on Trump. I don't trust what they're sending over to the Gang of Eight in any way, shape, or form. And I hate to say it. I've lost so much faith in my government and things that are going on in this country and the way they are selectively prosecuting people on the right, the way they selectively keep things out of the news or mislead or flat out lie to us. Strongest case in point, also occurring this week, and this is exactly where I think these documents to the Gang of Eight will fall under a similar category, because they're saying, oh, we'll provide them with everything and let them see them, and there we go. We have now learned through some excellent reporting that the White House signed off on a, quote, special access request for the Department of Justice to allow the FBI to raid Donald Trump's home at Mar-a-Lago just before the midterms. Let me repeat this. It's not getting much attention. It's not getting big news. I don't know why this isn't a bigger story, but the White House now, it is confirmed, went through a process for a special access request for the DOJ. You may recall the way they worded all the stories around Mar-a-Lago. The second it happened, Joe Biden's, wow, we didn't know that was going on. And I looked at three or four different stories from the raid, and they all said the same thing, because, you know, the Democrats and the media always know the exact talking point of every story as it pertains to Trump. And they all had the same phrase in them. Every single story after Mar-a-Lago was raided said the same thing. In regards to the White House being involved or knowing, they all used the same phrase, quote, appeared to come as a surprise to the White House, unquote. Now, I want you to think about that wording. Appeared to come as a surprise to the White House. Okay, they're reporting that it was a surprise to the White House without reporting it was a surprise to the White House. Appeared to come as a surprise at the White House, which means the media was in on it. They have known for months that the White House was in on it. They all have cover here by the way they worded their story. It appeared to come as a surprise to the White House. We're now learning, well, somebody somewhere got authority from authority, the word to sign off on a special access request for the Department of Justice to allow the FBI to go raid Mar-a-Lago. So it may have appeared to come as a surprise to the White House, but it was most certainly not a surprise to the White House, which nobody I know thought at the time was true. Did you think it was a surprise to the White House when the FBI went into Mar-a-Lago, or did you think, boy, there's a hit job by Biden on Trump? I know what I thought. And so they play the long game every time. And here we are, what, 6-8 months later after the raid? A lot of time has passed. And now we learn, oh, okay, they did sign off on this thing. And it's been so long and forgotten and accepted over the months that the White House didn't know anything about this. It's just become accepted. That has become accepted reporting and fact. Go to one of these AI things and ask them the question. They'll say the White House didn't know. But remember, at the time, they wrote the story, it appeared to come as a surprise. So you can't go back and say they were wrong. They got the story wrong. No, we told us it was a surprise. But nobody cares at this point. It's been so many months. Nobody's paying attention to this. But the White House was in on it. Because of course they were in on it. They'll do the same thing here with the Gang of Eight and these other documents. They'll find a way to limit Marco Rubio from seeing whatever it is that he sees. And months later down the road, nobody will be asking the question or care. It is complete and utter deception. It's evil. It's un-American. There has to be a way. There must be recourse. I don't like the word accountability. People say you got to be accountable. Well, how are you accountable? Because somebody calls you out publicly? I've never understood what accountability is. Accountability to me is something that is self-applied. Now, how can somebody else hold you accountable? I mean, I guess you could arrest somebody and jail them and they're being held accountable for something that they did. But that's not what we're seeing here. So I don't like the term accountability. To me, there has to be a recourse. There has to be a reaction for the action. And that is either censorship. They got to censure these people in Congress and in the Senate, suspend them. Tennessee moved very swiftly last week when they had a couple of members of their House of Representatives become out of control and violent over a gun rights issue and cause mayhem on the floor. And they kicked them out and they've been gone for a week and they're allowing them back now, but they've been gone. That seems reasonable to me. Create some sort of mayhem. The people that are in charge, suspend them. I can't see some sort of a big, hearing or trial or firing people or jailing people over these things. But we've got to get some sort of, we have to have some sort of system where the other party can hold, not the other side from contempt of Congress or something like that. We've got to find a way to send these people home, cut their pay, suspend them for a month, take away their pension, something for doing something they're not supposed to do and then lying about it. Somebody is ultimately responsible for the special access request to the DOJ that led to the raid on Mar-a-Lago. This stuff today makes Nixon and Watergate look like kindergarten. We're talking about a coordinated effort between the White House, the Department of Justice, and the FBI against a former president who's the leading candidate for the opposition party in the upcoming election, and they did it weeks before the midterms. I mean, how these are not crimes or even treason is beyond me. They go completely against the Constitution and the democracy that we supposedly live in. And nothing happens. Nothing ever happens on these fronts. Enough to drive you crazy. Our red tag deal auction of the week at bstock.net is an Apple MacBook Pro 15.4 inch. It's got an Intel Core i7 processor. These things start at $9. Did you know that? The auction items, the red tag deal auction item of the week at bstock.net begins at $9. It's a MacBook Pro. Where it goes, we don't know. They don't usually go anywhere near what it would cost to buy one. And this is a used one that's been completely refurbished, ready to go. It's got some minor cosmetic wear on it, but it's in the original box and charger included. It's all there. You can see it at the KK list. Bstock.net is kind enough to link up with the KK list. If you go to the KK list, just click on Red Tag Auction. You want to bid on this thing? It's opening at $9 for a MacBook Pro. Yes, the KKlist.com is the place to go, and your place to go for anything electronics, computers, televisions, accessories, Apple, all the big names, is bstock.net, 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe. North Kansas City Dental, my checkup checked out last week, feeling pretty good about that. I went to the Westwood office, the West Plaza office, they call it, in Kansas. I'm going to go back in a few weeks and have one of my old fillings that's maybe, 40 years old in my mouth. The old metal one's going to have a couple of those taken out and put the new kind in, so I'm looking forward to cleaning that up in my mouth. I'll do all that with Dr. Bill Bush at NKC Dental. If you'd like to schedule your appointment, they'd love to just see you for a regular checkup and cleaning. 816-471-2911 or online at nkcdental.com. And Advantage Termite and Pest Control is coming to my house today. Yes, indeed. Just regular service. We don't have any critter problems. They're going to come out and take care of it. I saw my first wasp over the weekend. Ooh, that one hatched and flew early. I saw my first one. I was watering a new tree that I planted in my side yard, and he was buzzing around a little bit. I don't like wasps. But if one of them even tries to build something under my deck or whatever, Advantage comes and takes care of those for me. They know their customers well. They know Jessica doesn't like snakes, and they know that I don't like wasps. That's it. And so I don't ever really see wasp nests around my house. They're just really good at making sure they don't even get built. I don't know how they do this, but I haven't seen wasp nests in years. They just know. They know the customers. Advantage Termite and Pest Control. AdvantageTPC.com if you'd like to make an appointment, or call 913-768-8989 for Advantage Termite and Pest Control. Got a terrific email from a listener, and he told me I could use it, but he didn't verify whether I could use his name. So we're going to go with Phil, who sent me a wonderful email from Friday. This is Friday, less than 48 hours before Easter. U.S. Representative Sharice Davids, making a difference for Kansas, sends this out to all of her constituents in District 3. Last night, a federal judge blocked access to an abortion medication called mifepristone. I don't know if I say it right. The ruling is yet another extremist attack on access to reproductive health care. This is in bold-faced letters. Women should be in charge of their reproductive health decisions, not the government. While mifepristone is still legal for now, this unprecedented ruling only puts Kansans' health at risks. It's yet another extremist attack to block access nationwide. A strong majority of Kansans, regardless of party, reject this extremism. I'll continue to stand with women, doctors, and families throughout our district and fight for their rights. Phil decided to fire an email back to Sharice Davids and said, "Dear Ms. Davids, this is the most disrespectful email I've ever received. On the evening before Easter and 2 days after Passover, you choose to send an email advocating for the use of abortion drugs. While you have the right to speak your mind, you might want to work on your civility." And I emailed back to Phil that is spot on. These people do not care about your Christianity. They do not. They most certainly do not. They will disrespect it at every turn. They don't want you going to church. They don't like churches. They see every church they drive by as a voter block of conservatives, and they hate it. And this is where Phil knocks it out of the park. Well, you have the right to speak your mind. This is a very conservative point of view. In other words, I respect you. I'm asking you respect me. Phil writes very succinctly, "While you have the right to speak your mind, you might want to work on your civility." Sending this out right before Easter is offensive to an awful lot of people. Phil goes on, "Your language in your email is reprehensible. You refer to the views of people who believe that babies' lives matter as extremists. The language of yours is both divisive and instilling hatred toward those who don't agree with you. You mention in your email, quote, 'My job is to serve everyone in our community regardless of party,' end quote. Your email, however, proves that statement is simply not true. My request: 1, apologize for the insulting timing and the content of this email to all who received it. 2, publicly apologize on Kansas City media outlets, including TV and radio stations, for your divisive message of extremism." I'm with you, Phil. That's an excellent response, and that is just an out-of-touch email. They just get so wound up over abortion. Now, what Phil's not going to like me saying, and many of you don't like me saying, is we have to, as conservatives, get rid of this issue. We have to. Where she is correct in her letter is they put something on the ballot last year in Kansas, and it was a landslide. Again, I'm not sitting here talking about the religious part, the moral part, the reprehensible part. I think these second and third term, third semester, trimester abortions are the most hideous things I've ever heard or seen. I don't like abortion. I wish there were zero. Zero. That would be a great goal. As long as we have had 50 years of history where we've allowed women to have abortions, and now you try to go to zero and take it completely away from them, it will be a losing issue for the party. It will be a losing issue at every turn, and it will be a losing issue in a lot of really conservative states too. It just will be. I don't know what the compromise is. I'm not a big compromise guy. This is one of the issues where if you could get something passed that really limits abortions, we really strongly should consider taking the win. Just food for thought. Terrific email, Phil. Thank you very much. Riley Gaines is at it again. Riley Gaines was the lead of a podcast last week, and I got a lot of great response from you. Riley Gaines is just awesome. She's the former swimmer at Kentucky, and she is a one-woman wrecking crew against biological males competing in women's sports. And under normal circumstances, she would already have things like Woman of the Year or Female Athlete of the Year or, you know, all those awards already wrapped up. But since she's on the right and not on the left, she's not going to win any of those things. But she should. Megan Rapinoe is a former soccer player. And she signed a letter this week that they sent everywhere to people saying, contact your congressperson and stop all these bills happening in these states and at the federal level that will keep men from playing in women's sports. Her argument is inclusivity for LGBTQ. Megan Rapinoe is a lesbian. So she's got a lot of other things that she's got on her mind other than just biological males competing in women's sports. But the letter was basically about that, that these bills are being written and we want to fight against this. And she's famous and she's rich. She has a lot more money than Riley Gaines. See, she played on a soccer team and she really looked like a butch lesbian out there playing soccer and, you know, turned her back on the national anthem and didn't, all these other things. Did protest this, complain about that. She's it, man. She's the Colin Kaepernick for women. My God, they love her. She's won all these awards and she's made millions in endorsements from Nike and others because she's such a champion for women and free speech and progressiveness, inclusivity. It's so important that we let the world know how great Megan Rapinoe and women like her are. Oh, but she's got to act like she doesn't care if men play women's sports. And that's where Riley Gaines comes in. Riley Gaines on Twitter to Megan Rapinoe after Rapinoe signs this letter to bash on all these Republicans and don't allow them to write these bills that protect women in sports. Rapinoe comes out, is against the whole thing, and Riley Gaines goes right back at Rapinoe with this one. Quote, it's worth noting that one, you are done playing sports competitive, and two, because you are not sexually attracted to men, you will never have a daughter to defend. To me, this simply looks like virtue signaling because you have nothing to personally lose. Wow. Riley Gaines took it a step further. She decided in this tweet to Megan Rapinoe that I don't even recognize you as a real mother if you decide to adopt a baby with your wife. It's worth noting, one, you're done playing sports competitive, and two, because you're not sexually attracted to men, you will never have a daughter to defend. To me, this simply looks like virtue signaling because you have nothing to personally lose. Wow. You want to talk about heads exploding on the left. Riley Gaines with one tweet hit four or five things that really stick in their craw. The reporter, of course, goes on to write in the story, Rapinoe's sexuality has nothing to do whether or not she could have a daughter in the future. Rapinoe is engaged to basketball legend Sue Bird. So Gaines decided to fire off one more. Directly at Megan Rapinoe. I can respect opinions that differ from my own, and everyone is entitled to think and speak independently. But I can't help but think Megan Rapinoe would genuinely shiv any male who tried to take her spot on the U.S. women's national team. And that is exactly right. I got some trouble recently for mentioning Matt Beisler, for example, who's retired, but if he wanted to take some hormone shots and say he's a girl and go play on the U.S. women's national team, what if he took Megan Rapinoe's spot? Would she be happy with that? She'd be okay with that. She'd be okay with men crossing over. This has got to happen. Soccer is the big one now. Soccer is the motherland for progressive, leftist thinking. And the mother load at the motherland is the women's team. We need a man on that women's team in the worst way. If we can just do that, I think it's probably over. Maybe even better would be a man that just goes out and wins Wimbledon. A male tennis player that just beats all the women and wins all the majors on the women's side. And this thing will self-destruct. I don't think they know that. The more they push it, it will fall apart because more and more men are going to get in. More and more men are going to win. The latest is cycling. Apparently there are men, two or three trans women, biological males, that are just dominating in cycling. So watch out for that. I love Riley Gaines. I'm really, really happy and proud of her. I'm happy with her and proud of her. She is awesome. Keep speaking. They're going to try to cancel her. Oh my God, are they going to try to cancel her? Also a big fan of John and his team at Window World. They're simply the best for less. Their products have lifetime warranties. They're made in America and they have 0% financing. You will save energy bills this summer on your air conditioning if you put in new windows from Window World. They have a double pane glass that you can literally stand on them. You could bounce on them. They're tremendous windows. They win the J.D. Power Award pretty much every year for customer service. So you're getting great service as well. If you'd like to have a professional come to your home, show you your products, work you up a bid, and then no pressure, leave it to you whether or not to do it, call 816-799-0820. That's 816-799-0820 for Window World. And you don't have to live in Kansas City. If you live within a couple hours, they'll come to you. So they're very much a regional company. Anywhere in the state of Missouri, most of Kansas, parts of Iowa, Window World, windowskansascity.com. Fry Orthodontics for that perfect smile for life. I mention my daughter a lot because she had such a great experience at Fry Orthodontics. It is like white glove treatment, and a lot of times with teenagers, teenagers can have bad days. I don't know if you remember what it was like to be a teenager, but I had a lot of bad days as like a 13, 14-year-old. It's the hardest time of my life. I don't know what the hardest time has been in your life, but that was certainly the time for me, and it was just not very much fun, as I remember. And so I didn't have to get braces. I was lucky that way. But if I did, I would certainly want to go to a place where it was kind of a, I don't know, it's an overused term, but a happy place, a positive place. You know, there's a good vibe. There's a good feel in there. And that's what Fry Orthodontics really strives to do. And it works for adults too. If you're an adult who's never had the smile you wanted, and you think it's time to get that smile, you should strongly consider Invisalign. It's the official provider for the National Football League. A lot of grown pro athletes use Invisalign and get their perfect smile in adulthood. That's okay too. Fry Orthodontics has 13 locations. Your first appointment is free. I'd greatly appreciate it if you go there, or if you're already going there and know somebody that is, you tell them you heard about it on Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. That always makes a difference. FryOrthodontics.com, where your smile is just the start. And the only jewelry store anywhere in Kansas City to even consider is Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch. You know this. Gary's in on Wednesdays and Saturdays if you want to see him. Dave's there all the time. He's the general manager. Cameron, the son-in-law, is there all the time. It's the jewelry you'll recommend to your friends and family, and it is old school. There are no commissions. These are just family and friends that know an awful lot about jewelry and diamonds, and it's so much fun to go there. It is such a throwback. You're going to love it. 95th and Antioch is Joslyn's Jewelry. Brooks Koepka making some news after the Masters. He finished second, tied with Phil Mickelson after an 8-shot swing. He had a 4-shot lead and lost by 4. Is that correct? I think I have that exactly right. An 8-shot swing. His 4-shot lead became a 4-shot loss. And, of course, he didn't play great. He shot over par. He wasn't awful. Like, he didn't lose it. He pulled a couple of drives into the woods. He had to, you know, kind of punch him out, and then it was hard to make par from there. He didn't play great like he did the first three rounds, 2.5 rounds. I mean, he was sensational. Looked like he was going to run away with the thing. So his comments, I got to preface all this by saying, first of all, I 100% agree with his comment, and I 100% believe he should have kept it to himself. Now you want to know what he's saying, right? This is the day after the Masters. He's talking like this. Brooks Koepka is exactly right, and he definitely shouldn't have said it. He should have told the committee and the people at Augusta National, and that's it. It should have remained private, but it did not remain private. So he stated publicly that the pace of play for him on Sunday was the worst he could ever remember. Now, Augusta doesn't take criticism lightly. They do everything right there. I don't think he was really crushing Augusta National Golf Club or the Masters. But in front of him was a player named Patrick Cantlay. And Patrick Cantlay was playing with Victor Hovland. Hovland began the round, I think, within two shots of the lead, had shot the low round of the third round and moved into contention. Hovland's a terrific young player, and he played like horse manure in the final round with Patrick Cantlay. And at times, while Brooks Koepka and John Rahm were sitting on a bench at the tee box waiting for the fairway to clear because Patrick Cantlay was so slow, they noted that Victor Hovland was 100, sometimes 200 yards ahead of him, that he'd go ahead and hit his shot and just start walking and keep trying to move that group faster because they'd fallen way behind. Patrick Cantlay's a human rain delay. So Hovland's off his game in that group, and he shoots a horrible score. Now, John Rahm had to put up with it too, and John Rahm was great. And this was what was interesting about what Koepka said. Because I look at, I read this, and I'm like, well, maybe Rahm figured it out. Maybe Rahm knew coming in, this is going to be a long day. I'm going to be standing here watching Patrick Cantlay a lot. Koepka said he counted seven times that John Rahm went to the bathroom during the round. Now, what he's saying here is nobody has to go to the bathroom seven times. He was doing it and walking very slowly over to the bathroom. Every time he saw a bathroom, John Rahm went, trying to slow his own group down so Cantlay could get out in front of them. It's a thing, and here's the deal. I can't stand waiting to play golf, and I don't mind if somebody, if I'm playing at like a four-hour pace, you know, and whatever, my group's just faster, or we only have three guys or something, and we're playing fast, that's on us. We can slow down. We can go to the bathroom. We can slow down. But these people who think they're playing in the Masters on regular golf courses that take forever or look so long for one golf ball, my God, it's a golf ball. It's gone. You hit a crappy shot. It's gone. Drop one and play on. Drives me crazy. Drives me absolutely crazy. The only thing worse is when somebody's playing up your rear from behind and they're pushing you and there's no place to go. Like, I got people in front of me. Nobody's ever pushed me from behind with an open course. You can't play faster than me. Can't be done. So that doesn't happen. But then they get really rude and get right up on you where you have no place to go. I hate that too. So look, Koepka's right. It is a thing. And I think Rahm had a really unique strategy. If he went and killed time at seven different porta potties at Augusta National, they actually have permanent facilities for the players there. So they weren't porta potties. He found seven different places where he could go kill 3 minutes to walk over to the bathroom maybe and maybe just act like he was going to the bathroom and then come back. It's a very routine part of golf and nature and life and whatever. That eats some time and you're not standing there seething at Patrick Cantlay in front of you for dilly-dallying like a fool, which he does. I'm done with Patrick Cantlay. We golfers are weird. We get done with certain players. Look, Koepka's 100% right. He just shouldn't have said it. He lost. It makes it sound like he's blaming it on that. And to a certain extent, he is. No question. Just silence would have been better. Keep it yourself. Keep it in-house. Patrick Cantlay is the problem, and Brooks Koepka has called him out. Okay, we got to finish up here with a couple of football notes. One of these made the Patron podcast yesterday. I spent much more time on this on the Patron podcast yesterday than I will here. Carson Palmer is a former Bengals quarterback. And he was on a podcast with his brother, who was also a quarterback. And Carson Palmer has named Joe Burrow as the number one quarterback in the NFL. Says he's better than Patrick Mahomes. I can't think of anything dumber and less defendable than that. You can't defend that. He cannot defend it. Carson Palmer said, Joe Burrow is more consistent and he's more accountable to the system and the play. And if Patrick Mahomes, this is my hot take, if Patrick Mahomes were really black and not just an American kid, like, I don't know whether he's black or white or whether, and I don't really care, but if he was just like black and you considered him African-American and black, which I, some people do and some people don't, if that's what he were, these things might be called racist. What he's saying is white boy Joe Burrow stands in the pocket and follows the coach's system and is smart and more intelligent and all these other things than Patrick Mahomes. That's his argument for Burrow is better. I'm like, Carson Palmer, you were that guy. You're a really smart guy, and you stood in the pocket and you got your knees blown out a bunch of times because you couldn't move around much. Are you watching football in 2023? Or are you watching Patrick Mahomes change everything? And now are you watching the kids in college who are playing like Patrick Mahomes because they've been watching him since they were 13 and they emulated him? I feel bad for Carson Palmer even saying this. Mahomes' best plays, I've admitted I was wrong. We can all admit we were wrong. I thought when they drafted Mahomes, too many stupid throws across the body, trying to do things. You can't do that in the NFL. I'd been taught. I covered the NFL for so long, I believed everything they said. And I thought Marty Schottenheimer was a great coach. Never throw across the field. Don't throw on the run. Never, right-handed quarterback, if you're rolling left, never throw it. Tuck it, get out of bounds, spike it in the ground, do what you got to do. Just don't do it. And so I thought Mahomes got away with some stuff in college that he'll never get away with in the pros. Now, there isn't anything he tries. That dude can try anything he wants. I thought Andy Reid was high the day I heard him say in training camp, Mahomes threw early on the first year he was going to be the starter. Like day two of camp, he threw three interceptions and we all saw him. We're like, oh boy, this is ugly. You're not supposed to throw that in the NFL. And he just got picked off three times. And Andy Reid said after practice, we've told Patrick, learn what you can't do on the practice field. Try anything. Make mistakes. Our defense will let you know what you can and can't get away with. And I thought Andy Reid was so full of spit. I was like, he is just lying through his teeth. They got a draft choice here throwing interceptions, and he is freaked out and doesn't know what else to say. And it was exactly true. 100% right. Carson Palmer's missing the memo. Joe Burrow is not better than Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes has 2 Super Bowl wins. Does anybody else in football have that? Does any other quarterback in the NFL have that? He's more consistent, more accountable to the system. He's smarter. Okay. Yeah, Carson, stop, please. Advanced Medical Imaging is here for you if you need an MRI or a CT scan without waiting 2 or 3 weeks to get into your hospital system. It's very simple. You go to medimageks.com for an appointment, or you can just call them at 785-856-0224. In addition to MRIs and CT scans, which are critically important if you've been injured or if there's a possibility you have something worse, they take your insurance. They work with your doctor wherever you go. You don't have to stay in that hospital chain. Advanced Medical Imaging will work with you and your insurance. Now, what they don't take insurance for is the heart scan. But with recent news and people we've seen in the news, we've had 2 or 3 high-profile people in sports have heart conditions here in the last couple months. And I just can't more highly recommend to you, it's under $100. Go get your plaque score. Go get the heart scan done. It takes 5 minutes. You don't have to take your shirt off. They just put the little node things on you under your shirt. They've got a very awesome machine they roll you partway into. It's open. It's airy. The light's great. This is so easy. They do the scan. They send it to your doctor. They give you your plaque score. Mine was 0. I'm blessed. But it's great. They saw all the other organs in my upper body and my torso. They saw everything. Your doctor can look at everything in you for under $100. Why wouldn't you do that once a year? Advanced Medical Imaging online at medimageks.com. Great Life Golf online at greatlifekc.com. If you'd like to play more golf this year, they've got courses all over the Midwest and in Kansas City, and they would love to sign up. It's like joining a gym. Some of them have fitness facilities. You just pay a monthly fee and play all the golf you want. Send an email to join@greatlifegolf.com. That's join@greatlifegolf. Wonderful clubs like Staley Farms, Prairie Highlands, Falcon Ridge, Canyon Farms, Tallgrass in Wichita, and a destination club like Osage National at the Lake of the Ozarks. all under one great company. Great Life. Join at greatlifegolf.com. And of course, my buddy Tim and his family over at Cross Kitchens. I got an email from a listener today. He showed me two before and one after pictures of the kitchen they remodeled. Excellent work. Thank you so much for supporting all the sponsors. They're all at the kklist.com. And I especially love before and after. If you get your garage floor done with Amazing Garage Floors or something, send me the picture before and after. Send me the picture of your kitchen or bathroom remodel before or after. I love that. You get a new car at Roberts Robinson, I want to see a picture of it. I love pictures of things you're getting with our sponsors. They're awesome. They work really, really hard to make you very, very happy. And I think that's great. And so many of you work very hard at trying to support the sponsors. And I can't thank you enough for that. That's just awesome. Our final today is Cliff Kingsbury, the football coach. This is the guy who lost with Patrick Mahomes in college. He had Patrick Mahomes and couldn't win. Never beat a Big 12 team with a winning record. Wow. Cliff Kingsbury. He did so well there. He got fired. And then he went to USC and was the offensive coordinator for about a minute before the Arizona Cardinals hired him, where he racked up an incredibly bad losing record and was 4-13 this past year. Had Kyler Murray as his quarterback, who everybody thought was going to be great. Never peed a drop in the NFL because Cliff Kingsbury was his coach. And now, I don't even get this. So here's what I respected about Kingsbury. The season was over. He got fired, and he left. He went to, where the heck did he go? He disappeared for 2 months. He said, I'm out of here. He went to, like, the Pacific Islands somewhere and was gone. He's like, I'm gone for 2 months. I'm out. And then a couple of, well, he had a guest visit him, and she posted a couple of pictures on social media. I'm like, oh, I see what he's doing for 2 months at this secluded resort somewhere in the Pacific Islands. But anyway, I respected it. Don't stick around for the fallout. Don't think about football. Just get out and go. And he did. And now he's back. That would have been most of February and March. And now it's April and he's back. And it is reported that he's joining the staff at USC. What is Lincoln Riley thinking? Lincoln Riley's the head coach there. He's got a great thing going. He's bringing in Cliff Kingsbury. Folks, I don't see it. I don't get it. I don't see it. So USC has the best quarterback in college football. Caleb Williams would be the number one pick in the draft this month, but he has to play another year before he's eligible. So he'll be the number one pick in the draft next year. So he has to play another year. They're bringing in Cliff Kingsbury to work with him. He doesn't need Cliff Kingsbury. I don't even get it. This could be some sort of a quarterback position job or a consulting thing. They haven't exactly defined it. And Cliff Kingsbury isn't even on the job yet. He's like, well, I guess I'll be there in a few weeks. I just want to be perfectly clear about what Cliff Kingsbury is. And I want to tell you that I am completely and utterly jealous. He is exceedingly wealthy. He does not work very hard. He loves to spend time with beautiful women. Many times at his sprawling estate in Scottsdale with a massive pool. Many times with 7, 8, 9 women all at the pool and maybe a couple of buddies with these pool parties that are legendary and there's pictures everywhere. Cliff Kingsbury is living, man. He's a good-looking dude. He's got it all. I respect his game. His game just isn't football. Be who you are, say who you are. So he's going to do what? Work part-time for USC? And commute between Scottsdale and L.A.? I'm sure he'll have a sprawling estate in L.A. too. There's got to be some pretty good parties he'll get invited to. I mean, in a way, I love the guy. In a way, I want him to go away. Why does he keep messing around with football? Just go be the playboy. Just go be that guy. Go be the man. Now he's going to work with Caleb Williams. I hope he doesn't mess Caleb. By the way, Mahomes loves the guy. There's nobody that doesn't like Cliff Kingsbury. Everybody likes him. Good dude. Everybody loves him. And he's not hiding who and what he is. Clearly, he's not hiding that. I mean, you couldn't have worked less as quarterback of the Cardinals than he did. You're ranking coaches 1 through 32 and how hard they work every single year. Cliff Kingsbury, number 32. It wasn't even close. Not even close. The guy in L.A., maybe McVay, could probably give him a run for the money. Because he just dabbles every year and should I quit or should I not? The money's so good. I think I'll just keep making this money for now. Oh, these guys. Wow. They're like in their 30s, early 40s. Way to go. There's KKHI. We're going to have another episode up on Tuesday. It will be a conversation with Ryan Lefebvre. I always look forward to those. It will be great fun. And I thank you, as always, for hitting the play button at Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.